the passage that was read is just one of the texts around which our lesson will revolve. In fact, really, we would have at this time the passage of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5 to be read. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5.
Wonder if this one is better.
Mm-hmm. And could you read it again?
And if a man also strive for masters,
if a man also strive for victory,
yet
or for mastery,
yet
or for success in the game, yet
is he not crowned?
He is not crowned.
Except he strive lawfully.
If he does not strive a particular way. So, the title of today's lesson is The Divine All. The Divine All. In the text just read, the emphasis was being placed on how the Olympians in the ancient world of Rome, how the Olympian participated in the game for victory. Paul made extensive use of such spectacle as the ancient Olympian Games. Paul used these games not just in the passage of 2 Timothy at hand. He used the game in Corinthians and other books to tell about the crown of life. He used the Olympian game to tell about receiving the prize. He used the Olympian game to tell us about finishing the course. The Olympian game was used by the Apostle Paul to tell us about running in the race. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul employed the game as he did other places, but so much so here, as we have said in many other cases where Paul or Christ or other New Testament writers speak metaphorically, use metaphor, use one thing to tell about something else. That's the way it is used here. And he used it here to stress, watch here, to stress the importance and the necessity of doing God's bidding God's way. And God has a way in us doing his bidding. In fact, brothers and sisters, the whole lesson today, the main purpose of this lesson is to help us see to it that our best spiritual and religious efforts are not in vain. That's the purpose of this lesson. Our best effort and putting out of strength and making sacrifices, that they are not in vain because of the how easy it is to overlook God's help. Very easy. The entire lesson will be on that. It's important that you listen and learn. It's important that you leave here with some takeaway that stay with your memory. As I say, Paul is saying to the Christian, through Timothy, that we must make sure that attention is paid to God's house, contending lawfully. Listen to the passage again. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5.
And if I may,
the other passage that was read is one powerful passage on that business. In fact, that passage uses the word how. But because we'll be getting to that passage further on, let us look again at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5.
And if a man also strives for masters, yet he is not crowned, except he strives lawfully.
He never, it matters not how he performs in the Olympic Games. He was never given the prize if he steps on the rule. You mean in the ancient world then? Yes. He had to strive lawfully. That is telling all. He contends. And the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, is saying to Christian, the same applies to us. There is no profit in just attending worship. Yes, you heard me well. There is no profit in merely singing. There is no benefit in merely just praying. All these are points that we'll be taking up in the lesson. There is no benefit in merely just giving. If this is not observed, and this must not be your how, it must be God's how. Are we there? So lest our best effort be in vain, ultimately, let us observe that God has his heart in doing things. Are we there? We must, as Paul is emphasizing here, contend keenly, cheerfully, thoughtfully, paying attention to God's how in carrying out every aspect of God's will. Any man, any woman who's going to be pleasing to God, that man, that woman must respect the divine rules. In effect, these are some of the things Paul is saying in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. That every child of God, expecting to be pleasing to God, hoping to be rewarded by God, whenever you engage in doing anything in the Christian religion in the name of Jesus Christ, you must be keen, be careful, be thoughtful about God's how in carrying out every aspect of His will. Any man or any woman who's going to be pleasing to God, that man or that woman must respect the divine rule, endure the divine discipline. Are we there? And not only that, fulfill all the requirements in reference to the proper enrollment. Wait, what do you mean, Mr. Mitchell? You enroll in God's kingdom to do His will. But even in getting enrolled, you must make sure you follow God's rule. Yeah,
that's right.
Can you say that another way, Mr. Mitchell? Yes, I can always say it another way. When you become a child of God, in becoming a Christian, make sure you become a Christian the right way, God's way. Amen. Because if that enrollment, if that signing up in God's kingdom, you didn't do it the proper way, you'll discover, you know, we were in my body. It was good to have seen Brother Marison and others there. Believe it was Thursday night. We didn't reach town until probably about 11:30 Friday night. And it was encouraging to see our Sister Crawford, as usual, she was there, helping to feed me and other workers. I'm just curious, Sister Crawford, about how many of us stay? Yes, between 10 and 12 stay at, it's just an ordinary house. You know? One thing I know, they fed us well. But one of the lessons that I preached there was the fact that there were people, and I show from the Bible, who thought they were in when they were out. Okay. I gave many examples of that. That is, when they sign up for enrollment, they did not do it the right way. God's way. So when Paul talks about they that run in the game, they are not crowned, which means they do not receive the prize if they do not run lawfully. He was saying that if we're going to be crowned by God, we must respect the divine rule. We must endure the divine discipline. We must fulfill all of the requirements in respect to the proper enrollment and participate in the game. By the rules set to participate. May I? In today's religious environment, and the attitude that comes with the religious world today, here is some of the attitudes. Here are some of the attitudes. Find the church of your choice. And I find the church of my choice. Wait. You see, the attitude today is like God has nothing to do with it. A few weeks ago, while I was in the state, I preached at the Northwest Congregation there on Oakland Avenue. And in the lesson, I was pointing out that one of the things that grabs me is when you listen to the subject of homosexuality, same-sex relationship discussed, be it on radio or television, you will hear about the person's right and the person's preference and the this and the that. And I'm always left asking, where is God? In fact, I plan to put a sermon together and that, with that title. Because it's like the people involved are usually religious people. That's what knocked me out. And it's like, you hardly hear anybody talking about what if the thus saith the Lord. Everything else is discussed and brought in to justify. Very rarely you hear a person say, but God, or but the Bible. I'm always left asking, where is he? Why nobody may remember that it's a part of the equation? In fact, he is not a part of the equation. He is the equation. When it comes to morality. So in this world, find the church of your choice. I will find the church of my choice. There is another attitude in the present religious world. Going to heaven is like going to Ocho Rios. There are many roads that take you there. So what they are in time, well, you can take your road to heaven, and I take mine. And but the Bible tells us that there is one road. And the Bible tells us that that one road is narrow. Huh? The Bible tells us not many people find that narrow road. But it tells us that the road to this other place is wide. And many people find it. But in the present religious environment, people think that going to heaven is like going to Ocho Rios. You can take it from Morant Bay. You can take it from Junction, you can take it from Spanish Town Bagua, you can take it from Clarinda, Redding, and my God, same way people think that going to heaven, each person take the winding or Barber Green road that they like. And some take the toll road. If they wow, that's right. I remember as I remember Sister Mitchell's father, wonderful person. I miss that man like I miss my own father, truly. But I remember he was a jolly person. I remember, you know, he would say, you know, like certain time of the year, he would tell that he hasn't been to his church for how long, but once he sends his offering, once he pays toll, everything was okay. Brothers and sisters, not only that, in the present religious environment, it is that you can have your faith and I have mine. Yes, it's okay if you have your Pentecostal faith. It's okay if you have your Baptist faith. It's okay if you have your Seventh-day Adventist. That's the attitude out there. Each church or each person can do its own way. There's still another attitude where I will do it my way and you will do it your way. God will accept both of us. Did you know that it is on that basis churches today quite often tell their members, when their members insist, members will go to their so-called church leader and they will say, Pastor, you know, I've been reading the Bible and I think I'm to be baptized, not sprinkle or confirm. That's the way we do it here. But I think from what the Bible tells me that I am to be buried. And the church leader will say, well, dear, if that's the way you like it, you can go and get it done. And that member will be so foolish that the person will go somewhere, get baptized, and come right back in at the next. My God, what common sense God gives you? If you are at a place where it is impossible to carry out the plain teaching of the gospel, you cannot do it there. Why would you want to go somewhere, get it done, and come back here? It's like you are begging God. Say, God, may I beg you, make sure you send me to hell. That's right. If you are unable to do God's will here, find somewhere else. All these attitudes shows the total ignorance and disregard for God's rule. And for God's word, look at the passage of Judges, chapter 17, 6 and 21, 25. 17, 6 and 21, 25. Let us hear it.
In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man...
Start again. The brother started by reading. In those days, there were no kings in Israel. No king.
But every man...
Watch here now. It's important that you get this, because this is telling us of the religious anarchy that existed then, God was never at any time for this type of situation. But every man
did that which was right in his own eyes.
I like how you read that, Jonathan. I like how you put the emphasis on it. Read it again the same way, brother.
But every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Brothers and sisters, you get it? In fact, that was 21:17:6. 21:25 says the same thing. In the one book, the same thing is emphasized. And some of the greatest myths, morally, spiritually, religiously, in Israel, took place during the time of the judges. That's why you had so many judges. One after the other. And this is telling you the reason for it. There was moral and spiritual and religious anarchy. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Today, every church is a law, a religious law unto itself. And the religious people that you and I come in touch with feel that it is all right with God. That's where you and I come in. We need to teach them. We need to enlighten them. We need to pray to God to give us the courage and the understanding and the perceptiveness that we can go about being aware of our responsibility. Are we all there? Ladies and gentlemen, notice this. Notice this. God hardly ever commands men and women merely to do something. I'm going to repeat it for your benefit. The Almighty God hardly ever commanded men merely to do something. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? God usually always include how it must be done. So, for the rest of this, the period that I spent on this lesson, that's what we'll be looking at. And I may have to take up a second part of this lesson, because it's not one of those lessons that I plan to preach a part on probably for the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years, if ever. I may not get back to it. What did you just say, Brother Mitchell, that God really ever command men or women to just do things? God usually always tell them, are we there? The how, same thing we call the manner, same thing we call the mode. Always. Let us start. We are going down a list. I'm not sure if we can reach the New Testament today. And that will be interesting. To show you some texts that you have been reading and I have been reading, but sometimes we don't pay attention that the text is emphasizing that God wants the thing to be done a particular way. And when we don't do it that particular way, we may do it until thy kingdom come, and we are not pleasing to God. So let us first start with some Old Testament illustration. For the Old Testament illustration, we look at Exodus 25 verse 4. And Jonathan, you may look at Hebrews 8:5, the very same text. What the Hebrews writer was saying in Hebrews 8:5, he was quoting from Exodus 25:4. Let us hear it. Let us hear it.
And blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen.
Is that Exodus 25:4?
Yes.
Okay, go on.
And goat's hair and ram's skin dyed red and badger's skin and shittim hood. Oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense. Onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. According to all that I shew thee, after the manner of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it.
Brother Webb, just that last part, and then the New Testament writer will spell it out.
According to all that I shew thee.
Everybody listening? Make it. Make it how?
According to all that I shew thee. After the pattern of the tabernacle.
After the pattern
of the tabernacle.
Of the tabernacle.
And the pattern of all the instruments thereof. Even so shall ye make it.
How must it be made?
After the pattern.
Let us have it.
Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things.
Moses, that is, served unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? The Old Testament institution were pointing to the church and heavenly institution. Read.
As Moses was admonished of God.
As Moses was admonished
of God.
By God.
When he was about.
When he was about.
To make,
make the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a type of the church. The church being the anti-type. Put it another way, Brother Mitchell. The tabernacle was pointing to the church of Christ. So when Moses was about to put the tabernacle together, that's right, it's still here. That's right. God said, but he said, see.
Saith he.
Said God.
That thou make
that
all.
That thou are you, Moses.
Make all things.
Make some of the things.
Make all things.
Most of the things.
Make all things.
Ha!
According to the pattern, shew to thee.
Brothers and sisters, what the brother is reading is dealing with the how. It's dealing with the mold. How must it be done? That you make all things according to the pattern that the Almighty God show you in the mount. Huh? What is the lesson today that we need to pay attention to God's how? To God's mold, to God's manner. Huh? When God's how is ignored, the command is not carried out, matters not how much effort we put in. For example, if you and I come to church for the wrong reason, you and I might be here every day. We might recommend that the church door open for worship not two or three times a week, but every day of the week, and we are here. But if we don't come for the right reason, just as well we didn't come. May I? Let us travel with God and His people and His commandment. Some more. Ladies and gentlemen, we hear a lot about the seventh day Jewish Sabbath. Huh? You haven't heard about it. I have, and I hear about it a lot. In fact, I've even been told that I should be keeping the Sabbath, and you should be keeping the Jewish seventh day Sabbath. And if somebody asks, why do you refer to it, Brother Mitchell, as the Jewish seventh day? Because it was given to the Jews and the Jews only.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
The entire Bible bears that out and bears that out plainly. Now, may I? The Almighty God never gave it to the Jews and just merely said, keep the Sabbath. Follow me now. There were regulations all over Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers, emphasizing how the Sabbath should be kept. And may I? If you ignore any of God's law, it's a mockery to claim that you're keeping it. Because you weren't keeping it if God's law is not observed. Are we all there? One. The way or the how of keeping the Jewish seventh-day Sabbath given by God to the Jews include no work on that day. Watch here now. Watch here now. No work for you who was head of your household, huh? No work for your son or daughter that live under your roof, huh? No work for your servants, huh? No work for your animal. Are you all there? Are you all there? In fact, you see, you and I, we may have visitors in our home on the Lord's Day. And you can take up your Bible and come to church, and the visitors say, no, I have some other business to attend to. That couldn't happen on the Sabbath. When you have visitor, the visitor had to keep the Sabbath with you. If that visitor was under your roof. We are not talking about something Moses made up. We are saying to you, this is how the Sabbath that God gave the Jew must be kept. Look at Exodus 20, verse 10. Look at it. Read.
For the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God.
Mm-hmm.
In it thou shalt not do any work.
Uh-huh.
Thou.
Wait. Nor... In it you shall not do any work. And the passage here is like it's addressing the head of the household. In it thou shalt not do any work.
Nor thy son.
Your son shall not do any work. Watch here. But suppose your son is a grown man. Once he lives under your roof, your house that you are the head of, he has to abide by your rule. Now your son.
Nor thy daughter.
Nor your daughter.
Thy manservant.
Your servant.
Nor thy maid.
Wait, brother. You couldn't give your servant the day off that day. Because they must not do any work. Nor your.
maidservant, nor thy cattle,
nor your cattle,
nor thy stranger,
nor the stranger that visits among you.
Read on.
For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth,
mm-hmm.
the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day,
mm-hmm.
and hallowed it. Honor thy father.
Stop there. Not only that, the penalty for breaking the Sabbath was death. That means if you break the Sabbath, if you didn't keep it, the religious leader appointed by the people or by God then could have you stoned to death. Huh? Look at Exodus chapter 31, 14 and 15.
Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that defileth it shall...
Everyone who defiles it shall...
surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people.
Everybody gets it? Anybody who did any work then should be cut off among the people. You see the business where Sabbath keeper take minibus? Where they contribute. Of course, we have a right to take minibus anytime because we are not under the Sabbath. But when the Sabbath was in force, or if these Seventh-day Adventists, whoever, were rape-keeping God's Sabbath, they couldn't take minibus. Not only could they not take minibus, they could not. You're reading the Bible about a Sabbath day's journey, 1/7 of a mile. Well, how that came about, you know, is when the Almighty God told them no work. And then as the Israelite progressed, they wanted to know then what constitutes labor, what constitutes work. And finally, God spoke man somewhere along the way, helped the Israelite work out that if you walk or travel more than so much distance, it amounts to working. So this is why you have even New Testament writer talking about a Sabbath day's journey. There is a certain distance beyond which you could not go on the Sabbath. That is when the Sabbath was in force. Not only that, I'm not through with the Sabbath. Notice in the book of Leviticus 23:32 following. Notice it.
Verse 32.
Uh-huh.
It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest.
Uh-huh.
And ye shall afflict your souls.
Uh-huh.
In the ninth day of the month at even. From even to unto even.
Read that again.
From even unto even.
Read that again.
From even unto even. Shall ye
Wait, read it. Shall
ye celebrate your Sabbath?
From even unto even. If you get a better translation, it would say from sunset to sunset. Watch here now. You notice what I've noticed? Even the time, duration during which the Sabbath was kept, was set by God. You should not keep it less than that time or more than that time. But you know what, too? This tells us that the Sabbath was never meant to be kept universally. Because this now makes it impossible for the people who live way up north to keep the Sabbath. Sometimes for months upon months there is no sunset. So unless God got involved in some miscalculation, but not my God. He never miscalculated. But not only that. As I've often pointed out here, when people who live on the continental U.S., not those who live like in, say, Alaska, that's not continental U.S. You see, are those in Hawaii. That's U.S., but not the continental U.S. Those who live on that piece of land that are joined together. Those who live in California would be keeping the Sabbath some 3 hours before those who live probably in New York. Same one country, you know. So if that is okay, why can't Sabbatarian in Kingston be keeping the Sabbath when Sabbatarian in Mobile are working? What I'm showing is the contradiction. But it does not come from God. What that does, it only show that the Sabbath was never meant by God to be kept worldwide. You know why? It cannot be kept worldwide. Because God did not give it to be kept worldwide. What is the point? God hardly ever gives man a command and not include how it must be carried out. Do we have time for just one more example? Yes, just one more. And next week we pick up. Look at this important event in Israel history. Another one, the Passover. Exodus chapter 12. Verse 1 following.
And the Lord spake unto Moses.
This is the last example, brothers and sisters. Just a minute. We have some 10 more examples to go, but these, and we have not yet gotten to the New Testament. And there are some interesting points to come out of the New Testament when we examine the New Testament to see God's mode, God's how, or God's manner. Let us hear about the Passover.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months.
That's right. You know why? The Israelites were about to be given their emancipation, their freedom from slavery, hundreds of years in Egypt as slaves. God is about to emancipate them. And God says, use this month as the beginning of reckoning time for you. Read.
It shall be the first month of the year to you.
That's right. To you. Not for the people. To you, the Israelites. Read.
Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, They shall take of them every man a lamb. According to the house of their father.
Yeah. Have you noticed what I've noticed? The Almighty God is dealing with the whole of the Passover. It was not just make tomorrow or the other day your Passover. No. The Almighty God going to give them the detail in respect to how it should be celebrated. Read on, brother.
A lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, Let him and his neighbors next unto his house take
you,
it.
You get the point? If your household is too small to produce a sheep,
joining
with another household. All this is dealing with God's household, you know. Read on.
Let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb.
That's right. Read on.
Your lamb shall be without blemish.
Wait. All this is dealing. Remember what I've said? Hardly has the Almighty God commanded men and women to do things. God usually always tells us how it must be carried out. And Christian, if you don't want your best effort to be in vain, we need to pay more attention to God's house. What we have before us here is just an example. Read, brother.
The lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep.
Brother, wait. You couldn't just have a dozen sheep or six or two dozen. And you just send Ryan. So Ryan, go and catch one of those sheep looking good. No, sir. It must be a male.
Yes, of the first year.
Huh?
Of the first year.
It must not be more than a year old. Huh? There must be no spot. Mean at a pretty good looking one. Whose specification is this? God! Read a little more.
And he shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month.
Uh-huh.
And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood.
Watch here now. All this is still dealing with God's house. When we get to the New Testament, you're going to see that the Holy Spirit laid down somehow there for us. Read on.
And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts.
Wait. This is the door. You don't just take the blood of the sheep and put it anywhere. It must be here and here and here. You get the point? God could have said, take the blood of the lamb and put it somewhere on the door. God is not usually that general. Read, brother.
And the upper post of the houses wherein they shall eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And they shall eat the flesh of that night. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread.
Uh-huh.
And with
bitter. You notice that even how it was prepared was said by God, roast with fire. Not just any and any bread, it's bread without any leavening effect.
And with bitter herbs.
What type of herb?
Bitter.
Me don't know how me would I eat that. But I would have to eat it. You get the point? What verses? Anything else? Read.
Eat not of it raw.
You hear? There are some people who like their meat rare. Huh? No, God says, read.
Eat not of it raw, nor sudden at all with water.
Wait, now what?
Sudden, don't stew it, at all with water, but roast with fire.
Y'all get it? We couldn't just prepare it just anyway. It's important that we notice this, you know. It couldn't just be prepared the way you like and the way grandmother show you. It has to be prepared God's way. Little more, brother, little more.
But roast with fire,
mm-hmm.
His head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning.
You all hear that? My God, if we eat enough, why can't we just throw away the rest? All of that is dealing. May I, brothers and sisters? Any way the Israelites celebrate the Passover,
and ignore any of God's how?
The destroying angel would destroy them too.
And that which remaineth unto the morning ye shall burn with fire.
Mm-hmm.
And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand.
You know, brothers and sisters, you know the meaning of this? Ready to go. You must eat it with your waistline, like you're taking a journey. You can't eat it barefoot. You must eat it with your staff in your hand.
And you shall eat it in haste.
And you can't dine. You cannot dine. You have to eat it fast. That's God's how. Let me encourage you to be mindful that in literally all of God's command to his people are directive, the Almighty God hardly tells man, simply do this. God usually gives directives in respect to how it must be done. You want us to look at baptism next week. You want us to look at worship next week. But what I find interesting with worship, not only is worship generally regulated, but you know what the New Testament inspired writer did? Specific acts of worship are also regulated. Coming to God, the Almighty God tells how the alien sinner should come, and he tells how the children of God should come.
Yeah.
But that is for next week. Make sure you are here, and make sure you bring somebody with you to listen and learn that God's how, God's mode, God's manner is very important, or else we spend an entire lifetime putting out religious spiritual effort in vain. We don't want that, and God doesn't want that. Hence this lesson. If you are here today, did you know that, and you're not a child of God, you're not a Christian. Did you know, you, our honored visitor, did you know that the Almighty God did not just say, make Jesus Christ your Savior, become a child of God, submit your life to God, be converted. The Bible tells you how. Jesus Christ talked about, and God shall draw them to me. Then he went on to tell how God draw them. They shall all be taught of God. And everyone therefore that have heard, that's step one. Learn, part of step one. Commit unto me. Then you have other passage that tells how this progress to Jesus Christ, how it progresses. After you are taught, you must believe. The Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. But then watch here. It says faith comes by hearing God's word. So you cannot hear just any and any religious doctrine and it lead you to Christ. It may lead you to be a member of a man-made church. But to be a child of God, you must hear the gospel in its purity and its simplicity. For faith
comes by hearing the word of God.
Amen.
Are you a child of God, a Christian, when you hear? No. You have other step, other condition, stipulated by God through His inspired writer. After you hear, you must make a resolve to repent. What does that mean? That is, that hearing would produce faith, belief. If you truly believe today that Jesus Christ died for you, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ is our only guide, the Almighty God says you will repent. And did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that what the Bible teaches is that when men believe, truly believe, they cannot remain as they were before? That's a fact. We are told in the book of Acts of the Apostles, for when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, they were baptized. When were they baptized? When they believed. Men and women cannot truly believe and remain as they are. You are in this building and I'm outside and I say, the building is on fire. And you just sit there relaxed the same way. That tells me you didn't believe. And that's the way God sees it. When you truly believe that Christ died for you, that you are a sinner and that your sin will lead you to eternal destruction, you will repent of your sin. You will turn from sin and turn to Christ, from self to Christ, from the ungodly ways of the world to the righteous ways of Christ. That's repentance. Are you a child of God when you repent? No. You must move on to where you are willing to confess faith in Christ. And then be baptized. That's when you get under the influence of the blood of Christ, when you are baptized. You can step forward right now as we stand and sing a song. Christ is calling you. You must become a child of God God's way. God